The Internal Revenue Service has holes that look like Swiss cheese all throughout its business operations. Appropriations at the IRS are down nearly 7% over the last four fiscal years, and Congress will not likely pass an appropriations bill that comes anywhere close to the $13 billion President Obama requested for the IRS for fiscal 2016. Staff at the agency's Human Capital Office, Office of Chief Counsel, and Small Business Self-Employed Division already cut by 16 to 30%. Jay McTigg is Director of Tax Issues, the Government Accountability Office's Strategic Issues Team, looking at the effects years of budget cuts are having on the Internal Revenue Service. Jay, thanks very much for coming on the program this afternoon. What's the budget environment and the trends that you've seen in the business units at the IRS? Thanks for being on the program today.
Oh, thank you, Francis. Happy to be here. You know, every year we take a look at the IRS budget request and look at the trends at the request of the Senate Appropriations Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee, and you know the trends are going south. As you mentioned at the top, since 2010, the IRS budget has been cut by about $1.2 billion, and they're down about 13,000 people, or 14% of staffing, compared to where they were just about 5 years ago. And the report that we just issued, we looked across the business units and function units and highlighted a few areas, you know, that saw significant decreases. And as you mentioned, the Human Capital Office, the Chief Counsel Office, and one of the major divisions at IRS, the Small Business and Self-Employed Division. And the picture, you know, is a little concerning. You know, basically, all of those units are down quite a bit, you know, to the point where trade-offs are being made. You know, for example, in the small business area, the IRS is unable to go after non-filers, people who are not submitting their taxes as required. So they've had a cutback on that operation. The Office of Chief Counsel has had to put off software acquisitions, which have actually hurt them as they pursue some tax cases. And then another area, we've also, in the human capital function, over 24,000 employee background reinvestigations have had to be put off due to budget constraints. So there are a lot of trade-offs being made. You know, the agency budget overall is down significantly, and it looks like it won't be getting better anytime soon. The House appropriators approved a budget that was about over $800 million lower than the current year, and just late last week, the Senate appropriators took another $471 million out of the IRS budget for the fiscal year 2016.
You write in this report about the scaling back that's caused because of those losses of FTEs, full-time equivalents. You write, such scaled-back activities potentially reduce program effectiveness or increase risk to IRS and the federal government. Now, some of the things that you mentioned, it's pretty easy to understand the effectiveness reduction piece of it. How does losing those people increase the risk to the IRS and the government as a whole?
Well, for example, I mentioned the background reinvestigations. Putting that off obviously has risk entailed within it. In terms of risk to federal revenue, as IRS has had to make trade-offs in terms of not going after non-filers and also reducing audit coverage. For example, the individual audit coverage has been reduced by 20%. IRS used to randomly audit about 1% of taxpayers, individual taxpayers, and that's now down to 0.8%. Likewise, on the business front, the rollback has been even more dramatic. A few years ago, it was about 6%, and the planned rate for 2015 was 4%. So we're seeing significant cutbacks across the board, and as I said, that will have an impact on the revenue that the federal government is able to collect.
Do we have a sense of a dollar amount, of a potential revenue amount that the government will miss out on because of this?
We don't have those numbers, but as you're aware, we rely on voluntary compliance, voluntary reporting
sure.
of income. And any time, you know, whether it's decreased taxpayer services to reductions in audits, which does serve a function in terms of encouraging people to comply with the tax law. Unfortunately, I don't have any dollar figures for that.
Jay McTigg is Director of Tax Issues at the Government Accountability Office's Strategic Issues Team. You write in this report about information technology data. What did the IRS leave out when it was reporting to Congress on its IT projects? And how is that affecting the way that Congress views the IRS's IT initiatives?
Yes, as you're probably aware, IT is a major component of IRS spending. Each year they spend upward of $2 billion on IT investments and maintenance of their systems. This year, when we looked at the budget request that they sent to the Congress, it's called the Congressional Justification, we noticed that they had some inaccurate data. Essentially, they did not update what they submitted in the previous year for one data series. And then, in terms of using standard definitions for life cycle cost and projected life of investments, they seem to treat that in a non-standard way. For example, for some projects, they had the full life cycle cost, but for others, it was only a 2 or 3 year estimate of the cost. So it was very difficult for Congress to be able to make fully informed judgments about the benefits and value of the different projects. One case, as I was talking about the useful life of IT investments, in one case we found that a replacement fraud detection system was reported as having a longer useful life than the IT investment that was slated to replace that one. So a little bit of a breakdown in internal controls over their budget submission.
You write about open GAO recommendations here, and you write 88 recommendations and 8 matters for congressional consideration could have financial implications if implemented. Now, these are, my understanding is, recommendations over a period of time and not ones that you've just made recently. Are you seeing progress in the recommendations that you've made in the past, and how's that impacting potentially the fiscal situation at the agency?
Yes, all told, we have about 200 open recommendations on ways that IRS could improve its operations, either make them more effective or efficient. Making them more effective could bring in more revenue. About half of these recommendations, as you mentioned, Francis, do have financial savings or enhanced revenue collection potential. They cover a whole range of recommendations, including enhancing online taxpayer services, leveraging or better leveraging third-party information and using that information to match against what taxpayers put in. One recommendation that IRS has made progress on and that we highlight in the report is making greater use of return on investment analysis. And again, during a period where budgetary resources are very constrained as they are at IRS, this type of analysis could help IRS better target the resources that it has to increase the efficiency and effectiveness of their enforcement activities.
Yeah, the recommendation that you make in this particular work, one of them regards the IT accounting and information availability that you talked about earlier in our conversation. What are the others?
In terms of what's in this report,
yes.
This report primarily focused on the information technology aspect. But another recommendation that we have been following, have made previously and did some follow-up on, was the cost estimate that IRS uses to help them manage their implementation of various provisions under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. That's something we had looked at previously and found some gaps in the approach that IRS was taking. We have a framework that we use to assess various investments, and we put that up against what IRS is doing. Basically, a reliable cost estimate needs to be comprehensive, well-documented, accurate, and credible. And IRS scored very highly on 3 of the 4 of those factors. And in many cases reflects best practices to a greater extent than it has in the past. So we were happy to see that.